You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are with Timothy Kiningham, the Global Chief Strategy Officer at Ipsos Loyalty, a professional services firm dedicated exclusively to customer experience, satisfaction, and loyalty. Timothy is also the co-author of The Wallet Allocation Rule. Timothy, certainly a privilege to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thanks so much for having me here today.
You're more than welcome. The pleasure is certainly ours. So to kick things off, what is the wallet allocation rule and how does it help companies grow?
Well, the actual wallet allocation rule is a simple rule that we discovered to understand how customers divide their spending among the different brands that they use in a category. That part isn't so sexy, but we originally introduced it in the Harvard Business Review. And then we had some follow-up pieces that appeared in some scientific journals, including the MIT Sloan Management Review. And ultimately, we put all that together in this book to show how entrepreneurs, how senior managers of big companies as well, can use this information to help them understand what it really takes to grow the share of business that they get from their customers.
Most businesses would think if our customers are happy, then we must be doing everything right. What would be wrong with that line of thinking?
There's a lot wrong with that line of thinking. First, I don't want to suggest that that you don't want to have happy customers who want to recommend the brand and all that. Of course we do. But the reality is no one does business with a company that they aren't satisfied with. The problem is that we do business with lots of different brands in the same category or lots of different businesses in the same category. And what we really care about is understanding what it takes to be the preferred provider so you get the lion's share of the customer's wallet. And so if you just looked at your customer satisfaction score, or some people use what's called the Net Promoter Score, which is almost the same thing, except they use a how likely are you to recommend the brand question instead. They tend to get these high scores and feel that they're doing really well. The problem is knowing a customer's satisfaction level or their net promoter level explains only 1% of the variation in customers' share of spending. That is so weak that it's actually managerially irrelevant. And what it ends up doing is it forces you to make bad decisions, because you end up saying, what is it that's going to increase my satisfaction level? And what drives satisfaction seldom is what drives share of wallet. And that's because satisfaction by itself isn't put in a competitive context. You don't care about the score itself. You care about the rank that score corresponds to relative to the other brands that the customer also uses. So instead of saying, how happy are you with me on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, and being happy because you got a 9 could be a good score, a 9 could be a bad score. But everyone considers it a good score because it's high. The problem is, let's just make an example, I use two other competitors and I rate 1 a 9 and another a 10, well, in that case, I'm tied for last, which means that I get a substantially less share of wallet than the one that received a 10. And that's a big problem. So instead of focusing on your score, we say focus on your rank. Are you number one in the customer's mind? And everyone understands what that means, because being number one gets disproportionate rewards in everything, in our sporting events or whatever. And it's also a measure that everybody understands. Doesn't matter whether they're down working in the line or whether they're senior executives at a big company, everyone knows it's better to be number one, and it's easy to rally the organization around. And with the wallet allocation rule, which is the simple formula, you can actually understand exactly how much share you're going to get by moving from second to first in that customer's mind.
Timothy, can the wallet allocation rule be used in small to mid-sized businesses?
Oh, yes, of course it can. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a big company or a small company. Every business manager wants the same thing. Every entrepreneur dreams of having a thriving, growing business. And there's really only three ways to grow your business. One is to make sure you increase your penetration, basically go out there and get new customers. And, of course, every entrepreneur needs to do that. But that's hard to do. I mean, at some point you're going to want to actually consolidate business with the current customers you have. The other way is to get your customers to buy more in the category than other customers do. That's really hard to do because need tends to drive most of our purchases. And then the last one is growing share of wallet. And share of wallet is the one that's all about the customer relationship. And that's the one where you're getting repeat business. You don't just get them to stay with you. You get them to come back over and over again. And we're not asking for really complicated pieces. I mean, you know, every entrepreneur is obsessed with delivering the best experience they can for their customers. That's what's great about small businesses is because they really haven't developed a bunch of layers to put them between them and the customer. So what they need to do, though, is they need to go and not just say, how well am I doing, but who else are you using and how are they doing? And then figure out where you stand on that. And don't ask them to rank you because then you're going to get an arbitrary number. Just ask them to give you their satisfaction level or whatever it is you're tracking for the different brands that they use. And then just ask them very simply, you know, what is it that when you use my brand, what's the primary reason when you decide you're going to work with me versus when you decide you're going to work with, you know, brand B and brand C? Just knowing those things and knowing where I rank ultimately tells me where my opportunities are. My opportunities aren't just with improving satisfaction, but they really are in minimizing my customers' needs to use the competition. And that's what drives rank. So, the reason it's so important is you get the wrong answer if you just focus on what do I need to do to make you happier. That doesn't mean being happy isn't important. It just means you can do a lot of things to make people happy that don't minimize their need to go somewhere else. And so an easy example, credit unions tend to be small businesses. In the credit union business, if you looked across the United States and you said, well, what drives their satisfaction? Well, what drives their satisfaction is the handling of customer complaints, which makes total sense, right? If I reduce customer complaints, satisfaction levels will go up. The problem is no one ever opened an account with a credit union or any financial institution for that matter because they were really good at solving problems that they made for the customer. It turns out if you look at what made them the first choice with their members, it is all about the fee structures. Credit unions have lower fees than banks do because they're nonprofits. And so that's great. So now you understand that they're coming here for economic reason. I mean, they like the relationship, but there's an economic benefit that comes with this relationship. The problem is all these members also still do business with a bank. Why do they do business with a bank if the credit union is paying higher interest rates on their deposits, charging lower interest rates on their loans, and no fees? Well, there has to be a reason. And the reason tends to relate to access, the ability to get, you know, to get your money to branches or whatever. But if you looked across the country and just said, okay, across customers, what is it? It turns out the number one reason a credit union member uses a bank in the United States is the internet banking services offered by big banks are much better than what most credit unions offer. And so the problem now is, you know, you can't lower your fees. You're already charging nothing. You're not going to pay them to come. And even if you did, it wouldn't minimize the need for the internet banking services. If they want to grow their share of wallet, they're going to have to find a better way to give customers access online, especially in the 21st century. That is the reason that credit unions, even though they have the highest satisfaction of any industry in the United States, according to the American Customer Satisfaction Index, still have low share. And so what we're really trying to say is make sure we think about these in a competitive context. You know, it doesn't take away from the brand to suddenly have better internet banking services, financial services for the credit union. It may involve collaborating with other credit unions, and they have these organizations to help them do it, but they need to know where to focus their efforts. By understanding it using a wallet allocation rule framework, they now know where to focus their resources that don't just make the customer happier, but also minimize their reason to use the competition.
Today, we're joined by Timothy Kiningham, the Global Chief Strategy Officer at Ipsos Loyalty, a professional services firm dedicated exclusively to customer experience, satisfaction, and loyalty. Timothy is also the co-author of the Wallet Allocation Rule, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Timothy, you say in the book that growth is easy for firms willing to give their products away for as long as they remain in business, but the first duty of a business is to survive. Managers must never lose sight of the fact that the end goal is profits, not just revenues. Can you explain how your book helps them do just that?
Absolutely. We put a set of frameworks in to say help us understand that our customers are our best asset. And what we really are looking for is balanced frameworks. We actually developed these frameworks with Sunil Gupta, who is the head of the marketing faculty at the Harvard Business School. So, I mean, we really worked to make sure they were vetted, they were solid. But basically, you're looking at how do I make sure that I understand what's causing what I'm looking for in a star customer. And a star customer is one that is high satisfaction and delivering an acceptable rate of return. And then obviously we have some customers that don't like us and don't make any money for us. And we say, okay, there's not much we can do there. But it's these unbalanced relationships where we have a problem. It's where we have people that are high satisfaction, but they actually don't deliver an acceptable rate of return. And it's usually because some aspect of our processes or our servicing is giving them a way to, I don't want to call cheat the system, but to beat the system. And that's our responsibility. We have to find better ways to serve them and at the same time keep their satisfaction up. And when I say better ways to serve them, I mean more profitably. And in a small business or a B2B environment, sometimes you have to go to your client and explain to them, hey, we're not making money on these services and, you know, you're costing us money on this and we have to figure out a way to do it. We actually had a firm that went and did that, and everyone said, oh, well, we don't need all these ancillary services. And it turns out that 3 months later, almost all of them came back and said, actually, we do, and we're willing to pay for them. And their satisfaction actually went up because they suddenly saw the value in those services. And then there's one other place where people can be out of balance, and that is where they deliver a high profit to you, but they aren't happy. There's something that you're not meeting in their need. We need to understand what that is. And it's usually some aspect that they think they can get better from the competition. Again, going back to the wallet allocation rule framework, figure out exactly what it is to move those customers from at-risk customers to star customers without making them unprofitable in the process.
Lastly, Timothy, what metrics need to be front of mind when applying the wallet allocation rule?
Well, the good news is if you're already measuring satisfaction or net promoter or whatever, we would say don't stop doing that because we don't care which metric you use to determine rank. You know, all we ask is put them in a competitive context. So keep measuring what you're measuring. Just expand it a little bit more and make sure you get where you stand vis-a-vis the competition with your customers. But then what we would say is you want to really track the percentage of your customers that consider you the real first choice, the untied first choice, because that number is going to be much lower than the satisfaction or net promoter score you have. Because most of the time, if you're a promoter for one brand and you're using a competing brand, 80 to 90% of the time you're a promoter for that competing brand. You're not winning. You're tied. You're a parity brand. You need to know what it takes to be different and an exclusive first choice. And so that's number one. Two, get a sense of how many brands your customers are using on average, or how many competitors they're using on average. Because, you know, an easy way to grow your share of wallet is to reduce their need and actually eliminate a small competitor by incorporating aspects of their service or product features into your offer. And that just raises the boat easily. And the last one is understand what share of wallet you're actually getting right now. Because what people delude themselves on is they think their best customer is their best customer exclusively. It turns out big customers tend to buy in large volume from all the brands they use. So your best customer is almost always your competitor's best customer too. And you may actually be number three on that list. What you want to do is get is to move to number one. And so once you understand the share that that customer is actually giving to you, then you can say, is this good or bad vis-a-vis the competition, and what can I do to improve my rank and therefore improve my share?
Super information. I can't thank you enough, and certainly would love to have you come back to speak more on this topic. Tell our listeners where they can get more information about Ipsos Loyalty, and where can listeners find your book, The Wallet Allocation Rule, online to make purchase?
Absolutely. Ipsos Loyalty, it's IPSOSLOYALTY.com. That's the easy one to find. In terms of finding information about the book, just go to walletrule.com. There's actually some resources on there for a free quick start guide on there and some FAQs and things like that. We want to make it easy for people to start up doing this. And the book is available wherever books are sold, but if you go online there, you can pick where you want from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Books A Million or something like that, and just click and it will link you directly to be able to order the book.
Well, Mr. Cunningham, certainly has been a pleasure to have had you. Thanks for taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thanks so much for having me.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Timothy Cunningham, the Global Chief Strategy Officer at Ipsos Loyalty, a professional services firm dedicated exclusively to customer experience, satisfaction, and loyalty. Timothy is also the co-author of The Wallet Allocation Rule. And once again, for more information, visit walletrule.com as well as ipsosloyalty.com. And this has been Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.